We have a lot of bills on the schedule today. Most of them we're going to move to rules. I would like to go ahead and handle a couple of the easier bills first. First thing I'd like to do is open a work session on House Bill 2875. Matt, could you refresh us what this bill is?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2875 is a water rights bill. It allows the water master to authorize an emergency diversion to be put in place in the event that there's like an earthquake or something that damages an existing diversion, and there's not time to go through the normal process. We heard this last time, and I seem to recall that everyone was more or less okay with the language.
So Water Watch is opposed to it. I've spoken with them. Frankly, I think their opposition is valid, but only minor, and there are no amendments. And I'd like to go ahead and move House Bill 2875.
Mr. Chair, I would move House Bill 2875 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Atkinson has moved House Bill 2875 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? So ordered.
Sure.
And would you like to carry that?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you.
Where's the geothermal bill here? I'm sorry, the amendment side of the bill. Are there amendments to this?
Yes, yeah,
it's last time,
yeah.
Let's open a. Are you on a committee now, sir?
No, I'm out.
Let's open the a work session on Senate Bill 527, and could you give us a review of where we are on this bill?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this is the energy siting bill that we have heard a couple of times, including on Tuesday. We're up to the dash 6 amendments right now, which are the closest thing we have to a set of consensus amendments at this point.
And could you just briefly describe the dash 6 amendments then?
Mr. Chairman, the Dash 6 amendments do a number of things. It creates a task force on regional energy policy and specifies the membership and duties of the task force. It also, let's see here, on my page.
Well, I'll just say the committee, I've had discussions with several people on this bill as to whether the arbitration section is specific enough. I got a memorandum from the Department of Justice that indicated that there are some potential ambiguities. Frankly, it's late in the session, and it's my hope that we can move this bill to the Senate floor and try to fix any of those ambiguities over on the House side. I'm not sure how significant they are, but that's what I would like to do, is to adopt the Dash 6 amendments and move this to move this on. And I'd just like the temperature of the committee on moving forward in that direction.
Okay. Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I have some concerns. I will support doing that, but I'll make sure that I have concerns about the it's Section 6 of the bill and some of the language used in it.
Is that the arbitration section?
It is. It has to do with arbitration. It also has to do with what the arbitrator is going to be deciding on when you talk about environmental, economic, social, and energy consequences.
Okay.
I think that's pretty vague. but I will support the motion to move the bill forward and work on it in the House.
All right. Is there a motion for the Dash 6 amendments?
Sure, I'd move the Dash 6 amendments.
Senator Atkinson has moved the Dash 6 amendments to Senate Bill 527. Is there any other discussion? Are there any objections? So ordered.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to make a motion, but just I hope it doesn't change in the House. Just as a matter of, for my own consistency, I don't like it when we pass things over the House and hope they get better. I would hope that the Senate does good work here and we don't just keep things alive for the sake of it. So I would hope that this is a good bill now. I would move Senate Bill 527 with amendments to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation, with the recommendation to remove, with the permission of the Senate President, the prior referral to the Ways and Means Committee.
Thank you, Senator Atkinson. Take that clarification. Senator Atkinson has moved that we obtain the permission of the Senate President to remove the referral to the Ways and Means Committee or slash Budget Committee and instead move the bill directly to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? So ordered. Let's open a work session on House Bill 2484, and Matt, could you tell us what amendments we have before us and what they do?
Mr. Chairman, we have a couple of different amendments to, I'm looking at the wrong folder here.
Thank you.
House Bill 2484 is the double majority annexation bill the House passed a couple months ago. To the best of my knowledge, only one set of amendments.
No, we've got
KRA.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The amendments we have, here we go, are a gut and stuff intended to deal with a specific problem in Salem, wherein we apparently have a section of land that is inside the city limits of Salem but is not within Salem's urban growth boundary, and this has created some problems for property owners in that area. The amendments would gut and stuff the entire bill and replace it with a fix to that, and I think we have.
We do have a public hearing scheduled on 2484, and I'd just like to ask, is there anybody in the audience who's here to testify on 2484? All right. There's several people. Everyone is for the bill except for Linda Ludwig, so let's get some of these people to come up and testify quickly, please. Jerry Ritter, Jack McIsaac, Ted Hughes. And we're in a work session. Let's go ahead and open a public hearing then on 2484. Yes.
Is it the A-12 that, or the Dash 12 amendments?
Yes, that's what he's referring to.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Jerry Ritter representing Oregon Communities for a Voice in Annexation. And first of all, I'd like to thank you very much for having this hearing. I know the opposition has been intense. We strongly support the bill as written. We're asking you to join your colleagues in the House in giving it a resounding approval. It's a bill that means a great deal to tens of thousands of our fellow citizens.
Yes.
And I think there's been enough discussion on this thing to where you know what the purpose and the background of the bill is.
Thank you.
Do I keep going? Or?
Go ahead.
Okay. I think you know what the purpose and the background of the bill is. It asks for a clarification of the vague voting language in ORS 195, Section 205 to 215, as meaning double majority, rather than the combined vote interpretation that the League of Oregon Cities insists that it is. Now, you can read the language, you can interpret it either way you want. I want to focus on some of the arguments that we've heard over and over again against this thing. And the first says that the city residents are subsidizing the UGB folks. I live in the Springfield UGB. I pay for every service that I get, whether it's from the city, the county, or a service district. When I drive on the city streets, it's most often to either shop at city businesses or help keep the city's biggest taxpayer in business. Now, I have yet to receive a letter from the Springfield City of, or Chamber of Commerce asking me not to patronize city businesses. The city also welcomes countless tourists every summer, and they're not too concerned about them getting a, quote, free ride. Mr. Chairman, the notion that I and the 6,000 other Springfield UGB residents are somehow getting a free ride is really without merit and should be rejected. And I'll point out, sir, that you yourself noted earlier in the session, and I quote, the cities have not made their case for the subsidy argument. The Washington County Sheriff agrees with you, and sir, you're absolutely correct on that. The other argument states that we already have a voice in the process because we elect county commissioners who represent us. We have five county commissioners and a Lane County Commission. I get to vote on one of them. So I have one voice for the UGB on the commission. And this is the identical situation you get into with an ORS 195 annexation, is that the UGB residents get drowned out and mixed. So that argument also we think is without merit. Now, you've all heard a lot about the annexation issues in Washington County. This is not a Washington County issue. Currently, the metro area cities, as I think you're aware, must use ORS 222 to annex. So ORS 195 does not even apply in the metro area. This is an Oregon issue, and it's a classic contest of fairness versus expediency for city governments. We have, to our knowledge, been involved in every ORS 195 annexation in the state so far, and we know how these things work. The plans are put together out of the public eye. Subsequent public hearings, if any, are merely a formality. It's then subjected to a combined vote where the voice of the UGB people is drowned out. One Lane County Commissioner called the process grossly unfair, and that's exactly what it is, and that's why we need to change it. Now, Senate Bill 887A addresses some of the issues in Washington County. We haven't seen the bill as it emerged from the House Land Use Committee. We don't know what, if any, ORS 195 protections exist in it, but unofficial sources tell us that whatever protections there are merely for 2 years, not permanent. And quite frankly, gentlemen, 2 years isn't going to cut it because it's going to be business as usual after the 2 years. That's why we strongly support this bill. Gentlemen, your House colleagues gave this thing a 45-13 endorsement, and they sent it to you to help finish the job that needs to be done. We're asking that you help us to do that and send this bill to the Senate floor with a unanimous due pass recommendation without going to rules, without gotten stuff. Now, if Senate Bill 887A does provide the ORS 195 reform, the double majority reform, and does it with permanency, then we're okay with that. But we have not seen the bill. I'll be happy to try to answer any questions you may have.
Go ahead. Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Ted Hughes here today representing the J.C. Reeves Construction Company. J.C. Reeves is a home builder and a commercial builder. Finds itself in a peculiar situation in that they own 155 acres in the city of Salem, in the city limits, but outside the UGB. Everybody I've told this story to is... said, no, you have it reversed. It's always the opposite. Well, believe me, it is not. We verified this with the city of Salem. We met with the mayor. We met with the city councilman that represents that area. We met with the state representative, Vicki Berger. We met with Senator Jackie Winters. They all think that the best way to go would be -12 amendments that we have offered you now. In reply to House Bill 2484 in its existing state, we were looking for a vehicle, an annexation vehicle. We were told that House Bill 2484 is no longer needed, that it is that the wishes of the sponsors were taken care of in 887, in the House version of 887. I just talked to the League of Oregon Cities, and they tell me that, yes, their desires are taken care of in in 887 on the House side as passed out of committee. They do it a little different way, she said, but it gets them where they want to be. Now, that's all I know about it. That's why we had our eye on House Bill 2484 to accomplish taking care of the situation for this developer. You all have, I believe, the dash 12 amendments. The amendments limit.
I'll clarify.
Strictly limit the application to this one lot here in Salem, to the one plot here in Salem, 155 acres. I've checked, as you see, we've restricted it to cities of 100,000 or more. I've checked with the city of Portland. I've checked with the city of Eugene. No one has a situation like this that I can see anywhere in Oregon. No one has any problem with the bills. And I can understand the original sponsors. I noticed when we caused these amendments to be drafted, they're dash 12. That's the first time I noticed that. We received these amendments last night at 4:45. So apparently these gentlemen have been fighting this bill from day one here in the legislature. And I apologize hijacking their bill, but if it is not needed, we do need this as a vehicle. And here, with me here is the senior management gentleman with J.C. Reeves Corporation that's involved in this project. He'll be able to answer any questions for you that you have.
I'll wait until he
should identify yourself.
My name is Nick Slindy, and I am general counsel for J.C. Reeves Corporation.
Go ahead, Senator Shields.
Maybe you know a little history. How in the world do you end up with a piece of property that's inside the city and outside the urban growth boundary? How did this happen to your company, and did you not recognize the consequence of this whenever it happened, or whatever?
In the early 80s, this piece was actually annexed into the city and was also made part of an urban growth boundary expansion. The 20-year supply, at some point, it was contested, they went back and lessened or bought in portions of the UGB. They did not de-annex this particular piece, and here we sit today.
Mr. Chair, that's a bizarre situation. I don't know if you...
Well,
I mean, they were annexed and inside the UGB, then the UGB was shrunk, and they were not de-annexed, so they end up outside the UGB.
And these amendments appeared just at 4:45 last night.
Mr. Chairman, pardon me.
You got these amendments late in the day yesterday?
Yes, 4:45, yes, sir.
All right. And essentially, they got everything in the original bill, though, correct?
That is correct, Mr. Chairman.
Well, what am I supposed to do to everybody that said I was going to move the bill?
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Ted, is there any other bill you can use? I mean, you might have gotten some false information when you were told that this bill wasn't needed. If I quote you right, you said that you were told that Senate bill, or was it House Bill, 887 did the job?
That's Mr. Chairman, Senator Schiff.
Did you check with everybody?
That's correct. I've checked with the land use folks in the House Committee, League of Oregon Cities, just recently. Everyone tells me that their wishes are taken care of, so I assume...
Well, first of all, he's shaking his head no. Second of all, 887 isn't law yet. I mean, it's...
That's correct. I understand it came out of the House Committee yesterday, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Well, we have more people to testify on this bill. Senator Byer, do you have any questions? All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate your testimony.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ken Henschel, do you want to come on up? Linda, you're signed up. Do you want to come up as well? Go ahead, Ken.
Thank you, Senator. My name is Ken Henschel. I live in Washington County in an unincorporated area. I have two quick pieces of testimony I'd like to offer. I know you're busy today. The first one, I offer as the chair of the Citizen Participation Organization 4B, which covers Bull Mountain and most of Tigard. our residents have been very vocal on this particular issue of the dual majority. They see it as a pure voting rights issue, and vocal enough that they draft a resolution in support of dual majority throughout the state. And I won't read that resolution. I've just given you a copy of it. But it's, again, it's an issue of fairness and constitutionality. And that's the way that our members want it throughout the state, partially due to the recent Tigard Bull Mountain annexation fiasco in last fall. Secondly, I testify as a citizen in favor of House Bill 2484 as written. While I'm very sympathetic to the plight of the J.C. Reeves Corporation just mentioned, I don't know that particular bill or issue belongs in this particular bill. The armed forces of the United States are fighting in Iraq right now to preserve voter rights and fair elections, and here we are debating the same thing in Oregon. It doesn't make sense to me. The House Bill 24, the way it's presently written, is very precise and very clear. It simply and neatly cleans up an ambiguity in ORS 195 to give all communities a fair voice in annexations, period. Some opponents of this bill think that a single majority annexation is inherently fair. Well, I disagree. By way of example, I ask you to consider a hypothetical scenario. What if the state of California, in an effort to gain our badly needed water, offered to combine statehood with the state of Oregon, forming a single state called California, with their existing government, their tax structure, their laws, and their customs? In a fair vote, would you, the Oregon legislature, rather A, see the votes of Oregon's 2 million registered voters combined with the votes of California's 17 million registered voters in a winner-take-all scenario, where your 2 million possible votes would likely be lost in the shuffle of water-poor California's 17 million? Or B, have the citizens of Oregon vote on the issue, separately have the citizens of California vote on the issue, with both elections having to affirm the annexation before we're to move forward?
I don't know.
Unless you want to be working hand-in-hand with Governor Schwarzenegger in Sacramento, have your state tree as the California redwood and your state insect as the California dog-faced butterfly, I think the choice that Oregonians would prefer is clear. The double majority vote would preserve Oregon's right to choose its government, and that is the issue in this bill. In my local community, the city of Tigard recently attempted to annex my smaller Bull Mountain community using the single majority provision. With Tigard voters having a 6-to-1 numerical superiority over unincorporated Bull Mountain voters, that single majority vote would have been as fair as 6 wolves and 1 lamb
voting together
on what to have for dinner.
You know, that's, I like that. But, you know, we've heard the annexation issues before in other bills, and we have a pretty full agenda, and frankly, I'd appreciate it if you could wrap it up quickly. We need to give Linda Ludwig time to testify. Representative Crummell is waiting to testify, so if you could...
Certainly, I'll wrap up.
That'd be great. Thank you.
I ask that you please side with fairness and send House Bill 2484 to the floor as written with a unanimous due pass, and please don't delay this decision. Thank you for hearing my testimony, for your work in correcting an ambiguity in ORS 195 to preserve fair voting practices for all Oregonians.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair, Linda Ludwig, League of Oregon Cities. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this bill. As you've said, we've talked about annexation quite a bit in this committee. The method of annexation that House Bill 2484 deals with is a very specific type of annexation. There have only been 3 of these annexations done in the state in the last 12 years since this method has passed. This method has some problems with it. We have seen that not only in the voting requirement, but in the signing of urban service agreements between cities, county service districts, and special districts. We realize that this is prime time issue, along with island annexations, for the Interim Annexation Committee to be looking at, not just the voting requirement on these 195 urban service provider annexations, but how they're done, the timeline, and the methodology that's used and that's utilized. Senate Bill 887A that passed out of this committee off the Senate floor does contain a provision, as you may well remember, that deals with 195 annexations, the same type of annexations. The voting type is a little bit different. It is a territorial-only vote. It is a vote only of the territory to be annexed, because that is a less expensive vote for cities and citizens that pay those city taxes to enable that annexation. Yes, that voting requirement and that change to ORS 195 is sunsets in 2.5 years. The thought behind that was that the Interim Committee would take a special look at 195 annexations and make some changes to that methodology.
Is it fair to say you find this bill less objectionable than 887?
No, Mr. Chair.
That's not fair. Okay.
No, I would not say that. I think 887 is less objectionable.
Okay. Thank you.
Lastly, I had not seen the Dash 12 amendments until 10 minutes ago.
Me either. Okay. Thank you. Any questions?
No.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it. Representative Crummell, do you want to give us the final word on this, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, State Representative Jerry Crummell, House District 26, which includes Wilsonville, Sherwood, and over to Gaston. Thank you for allowing me to take a couple minutes of your time to testify on House Bill 2484. It's really a very simple bill, as you have noted. It came across from the House very clean. It does not have any other annexation issues in it. It deals with ORS 195, and that is all that it deals with is ORS 195. It deals with a double or dual majority vote so that both areas, the city or the area annexing a territory and the territory being annexed, have a say. In a situation of a city, it would require the city to have a vote of their residents. And we have a number of, about half the cities in the state now have in their charters requirement that annexations have a vote of the public. Many cities have, residents have gotten upset with the way their city councils have acted on some of these annexation issues, and so they've put it into the charters. This just clarifies that in these annexation issues that it requires a double majority on both territory being annexed and the annexing territory. It's very clean in that respect. It's a good government bill. It's a good governance bill, and I would urge you to pass it out as it is to the Senate floor, and would appreciate that. With regards to the Dash 12 amendments, as you have stated, Mr. Chair, I saw them as I walked in the door. It would have been nice if the proponents of the Dash 12 would have talked to any of the chief co-sponsors, and maybe they did talk to the other ones who didn't happen to talk to me. I would not look kindly upon a gotten stuff such as this, and I know the primary principal of J.C. Reeves Corporation, if they're kind of a company that's pushing back on this. I would have been happy to work with them. They have property in my district too, and I would have been happy to work with them as far as getting some kind of a vehicle for them if it's in your wisdom to put the Dash 12 amendments into 2484. What I would suggest is that it not be done as a gut and stuff, which is what the Dash 12.
We're not going to gut and stuff it. That's not going to happen.
So I appreciate that, okay. Mr. Chairman. And with that, I'll be glad to stop. I'd be glad to answer any questions. Otherwise,
thank you.
I'll just get
thank you very much. Are there any questions for Representative Crummell? Senator Barr.
Mr. Chair, and I don't know if Representative Crummell or counsel can answer the question, but it sounds like Senate Bill 887 that was moved out of the committee yesterday to the House for it deals with what we've been told, the same section of law. And so if we were to move this bill today without an amendment, is the bill going to be back in front of the committee in a day or two needing a conflict amendment?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, we're not going to need a conflict amendment, or at least legislative council didn't think so when we checked yesterday. That's a good question, though. This is like the same section of statute. I don't know why they didn't think a conflict amendment was necessary.
I guess I would also say, I mean, there's a possibility that 887 will go to a conference committee. So that's just another possibility that's out there. I don't know.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, if I may. I did check with council on it, with legislative council on any potential conflicts between 887 and 2484, and there are no conflicts. 2484 simply clarifies requirement for a double majority or dual majority vote. 887 does, if I remember correctly from council, it does preempt a city's charter if there's a charter amendment, or if the city has it in their charter that they require a vote to annex property. 887 would preempt that, is my understanding. But the but as far as the conflict between the two, between 2484 and 887, there is none.
Are you okay, Senator Bonham?
Well, Mr. Chair, I don't know if Chris could answer the question, but if two bills amend the same section of law in different manners, and the conflict amendments aren't put in one or the other, doesn't the one that gets signed last?
Generally, the conflict amendments are appended to the trailing bill. So whichever bill is moving second would be the one that would be subject to conflict amendments if both bills amend the same section.
But if neither one gets amended with a conflict amendment, is the bill that gets signed last the one if they two are different?
The rules are arcane on that, and I'm going to defer to legislative council. They may have the capacity editorially if the amendments don't conflict. If one simply changes the text of one subsection, the other one adds a separate subsection, they may have the authority editorially to combine those in the codification process.
What's your pleasure, Senator Byer?
Well, it's a concern that if what Linda Ludwig said is that the 887 amends this section in a way that puts a 2.5-year sunset on it, and this bill is silent to the sunset, and 887 would pass last, or a conflict amendment, we may end up with a 2.5-year sunset. That's my question.
It's a good question. Why don't we adjourn or recess this hearing, and let's get somebody from Edge Council to come up in a few minutes, and we'll move on to another bill. So, thank you, Representative Crummell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
So the hearing on House Bill 2484 is recessed, and let's open a work session on 2458. I also want to tell folks in the committee that we've got the amendments just in on 3038, and if you want to step out for a half hour and figure out where you are on these, we won't get to 3038 in 20 or 30 minutes. I'm just Doug and Willie, I don't know if you're in this room, but just so that we know where we are on those amendments. But we are in a work session on 2458. Harlan, do you want to, are you here, Harlan? Do you want to come on up and just describe what amendments you've got on the table here? And Art Schlack, are you here? Do you want to come up to Art?
Can you see if it's signed?
Yeah.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I am Harlan Levy, Senior Staff Attorney with the Oregon Association of Realtors, here to testify on House Bill 2458. You have two sets of amendments before you today, the A4 and the A5 amendments. I'm here today to offer support to the A4 amendments. What they would do is remove the commercial aspect of the bill, limit its applicability to rural industrial sites remaining outside the Willamette Valley that were planned and zoned on January 1st, 2004. It will increase the population threshold similar to the existing bill from 15,000 to 20,000 for purposes of drawing that 3-mile ring around cities. It does add Section 2 to the bill, which, again, deals with the issue of LCDC needing to amend a statewide planning goal in response to the passage of this bill. We're basically saying that they can do that in one public hearing at the time and place of their choosing, because they're just responding to an act of the legislature, and that will not require them to do the typical statewide planning goal amendment, which requires them to travel around the state and have 10 public hearings in different cities. The reason that we're here supporting the A4 amendments is because the businesses that are affected by this bill really need the certainty. The landowners need the certainty to plan. And we want to remove the sunset. I mean, this pilot program that the legislature created last session has worked well. Mr. Schlack has some numbers, some examples of areas in Umatilla and Hood River County where those counties utilized that bill to create some new jobs. And we think that this is a good program. We think it should be allowed to continue in perpetuity. And we would ask that the legislature not extend the sunset, that it would repeal the sunset.
Well, Haldeman-4 is remove the applicability of commercial.
Chair Ringo, that is correct. The dash fours remove the commercial entirely from the
bill.
All
right, so it does two things. It focuses it on industrial. It increases the size. Well, three things. Focuses on industrial, increases the size of the city to 20,000, and removes the sunset.
That is correct, and it adds this provision about amending a statewide planning goal.
Okay. Art, do you have any comments to add?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Art Slack, excuse me. Art Slack with the Association of Oregon Counties, here also to support the passage of House Bill 2458 with the dash four amendments. As you recall, last session, the legislature passed House Bill 2614, which did provide the opportunity to locate structures larger than was allowed or is allowed by the administrative rules of the Department of Land Conservation and Development on lands that are currently planned and zoned for industrial development. And I want to emphasize that. We're only talking about the lands that are currently planned and zoned for industrial development at this point. In doing that, the legislature placed a sunset of in 2006, so it's essential that we remove the sunset that was placed by the legislature last session on this bill. We support the A4 amendments to the bill. We think that removing commercial from the bill is essential to have the bill pass this session at this point.
Okay.
That'll complete my comments, Mr. Chair, unless there's any questions.
Thanks very much.
And just for the committee, I should have brought Director Shetterly up first. I apologize if he's in the back of the room, but the A5 amendments that you've seen, come on up, Lane, I'm sorry. The A5 amendments, I believe Director Shetterly prefers, simply extends the sunset. Is that the only difference between the A4s and the A5s?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, that is correct.
Okay, go ahead, Dr. Shetterly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Lane Shetterly, Director of the Department of Land Conservation and Development. Frankly, as between the A4s and the A5s, we do prefer the A5s. The A5s extend the sunset on the current bill to January of 2010. Our preference on that, as you know, is that we have a work group that was constituted last fall and began meeting this year at my request and in the direction of the Land Conservation and Development Commission to address the entire issue of industrial and commercial uses in rural lands statewide, not just outside the Willamette Valley, and as I said, also to address commercial as well as industrial. To extend the sunset will allow that work group to go forward. It will keep everybody at the table so that we can address the issue in its entirety. And with regard to the certainty that Harlan addresses, it does no harm in that respect. As you see in Section 3, it makes clear that any application filed within the time of the sunset is a grandfathered application for use. It's not going to create any uncertainty out there, and it gives the work group the time to do the, I think, the level of work that's necessary. Frankly, 2010 is more time than we need. I think we'll have something probably ready to go by the end of this year. So I think a two-year sunset extension would be sufficient. But as between these two, we would take the A5s over the A4s. I think it's a reasonable compromise. It maintains the status quo, allows the work group to pursue its work, and certainly gives the legislature time to revisit this if it should be necessary before the sunset expires.
Thank you very much. very much. Senator Shields?
I guess I'm just confused, and I would ask the Art, are you okay with the fives as well as the fours? Under what Director Shetterly just said? Or what's the reason for not being comfortable with that?
Mr. Chair, Senator Shields, our preference is to remove the sunset. In fact, we introduced a House bill to do just that. If the legislature determines that it's better to just extend the sunset, we would accept that. But again, it's not our preference at this point. I would also comment with regard to the work group. This bill only affects lands outside the Willamette Valley. We're only talking about eastern Oregon, southern Oregon, and the coast. So it's limited in terms of its scope. The work group will be looking at the entire state. They'll be looking at not only the lands that are currently planned and zoned for industrial, but they'll look, these rules, should they be modified, would also be applied to lands that might be designated in the future for commercial or industrial use. So there are a number of good reasons why the group, the task force that the department has established with the assistance of the commission, for them to continue their work, because this is only a very small segment of the state that is affected by this bill.
Follow up.
Well,
go ahead.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Shields, first of all, in terms of geographic scope, that's not a small part of the state, that's the major part of the state. Secondly, with regard to the work group, I think the point being that as the work group goes forward, for one of the things it's doing is, frankly, is looking at how many sites there are. We don't know at this point. You don't know statewide or in the parts of the state that are covered under this bill. We think that's reasonable information to know before making a determination that's final. Also, there's an element of Measure 37 that comes into play here through the work of the work group. If it should be, determined that for whatever reason the extent of development that's granted under this bill may be greater than is necessary or appropriate for whatever reason, for the legislature in the future to ever limit or withdraw in any respect from the development rights that are granted under this bill creates a new class of Measure 37 claimants. So I think that also underscores the need to be careful in going forward and making sure that we hit the target precisely. This bill is a very broad brush approach to the issue, and I think that the work group, again, with the information gathering that has not gone, has not been done, gives the opportunity for a much better and more refined outcome than this.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Thank you very much. I appreciate your testimony. Elon Hassan and Stephen Cafori, please.
Thank you, Chair and members of the committee. My name is Elon Hassan, the legislative director for 1000 Friends of Oregon. In looking at these amendments, we're happy to see the amendments take out commercial lands. But we still we do support the work of the work group. The dash A5 amendments are something we could probably live with. We'd like to see the work group continue doing its work. We believe that the industrial the economic development that happens in industrial areas, it's still best if it happens inside of urban areas, and I would like to see that work group examine all those areas. I think in some of the data that you've seen that's been submitted, a lot of the total acreage for many counties was unaccounted for, so I'd agree with Director Shetterly that we don't know what's out there. So we would we would not oppose the A5's amendments to the bill.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Stephen Cafori. I'm representing the Oregon chapter of the American Planning Association. We just saw the A5 also this morning, and rather than going into discussion about that, what I'd like to do is say a little bit about our experience with planning for industrial lands, what the problems are and what this bill may or may not solve.
Well, just to let you know, I think is what we're going to do is adopt the Dash 5 amendments and move it forward. And I guess I'd like your remarks limited to your the effect of that.
Mr. Chair, it would be our preference that you not adopt the 5-5, that you not adopt the Dash 4. We don't see any need for the bill at all, frankly. And if you'd like some discussion on that, we'd be happy to.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. I just wanted to focus on the issue, though.
Yeah, just very briefly, I'm Brian Campbell, former planning manager for the Port of Portland and an Oregon APA representative, too. And let me just take 30 seconds to say that what Stephen's referring to, I think, is that putting industrial for non-resource-based industries on resource land is what we're essentially objecting to. I think that the Dash 5s, we've just seen these, so I think we would, they're certainly better than the Dash 4s. I guess that's the bottom line from my perspective. But again, as Stephen said, we were concerned that it would open up some land in the resource-based resource areas to non-resource-based industries.
Okay. Thank you very much. Other questions? Other questions? Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. We are in work session on 2458, and the chair would entertain a motion for the Dash 5 amendments.
So moved.
Senator Shields has moved the Dash 5 amendments to House Bill 2458. Is there any discussion, Senator Byron?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to oppose this motion. I think the Dash 4s are the appropriate amendments to put into the bill. The Dash 5s, as we testified to, maintain status quo, and I don't know why we want to maintain status quo in this state. Land use laws have been stifling industry and business, specifically in rural Oregon. We have an opportunity to at least deal with the industrial part of it. I would have preferred the original bill to any amendments, but obviously that's not going to be an option. And so, you know, I support the Dash 4s, not the Dash 5s.
Okay. Senator Shields?
Maybe I'm confused. As I listen to Senator Beyer, I'm replaying Chair Shetterly's comments. He said that anything that happened under in the time before the sunset would be grandfathered in. I thought that took care of those concerns. Can I have some clarification? I'm a little confused here.
Well, I think one of the things Director Shetterly expressed concern about is that if we remove the sunset and that certain rights are granted to property owners, but then we want to look at them more carefully, there may be Measure 37 implications involved, and we need to be very careful about that. And particularly where there's a work group that's proceeding on this issue, it makes sense at this time to simply extend the sunset, knowing that it's possible, maybe likely, the work group will then remove the sunset. Because, I think it does make sense to try to give encouragement to industrial development in rural Oregon, and that's what this bill does. It facilitates that by extending the sunset.
Mr. Chair, I'm just skeptical of work groups and task forces and things that are going to report back to the next legislature. That's what we do when we fail to make a policy decision here ourselves. And the bill before us is a policy decision. I support the bill. I have letters from my county commissioner supporting the bill. We are sent here as elected members to not to put things on work groups to hope to encourage things to happen. We're here to make things happen, and so I will oppose the Dash 5s too.
Well, I appreciate that, and I think there is some merit in what you say. On balance, I think it does make sense at this point, especially with the situation with Measure 37, that we simply extend the sunset. Katie, could you call the roll on the motion on the Dash 5 amendments?
Senator Beyer?
No.
Senator Burdick?
Aye.
Senator Shields?
Aye.
Vice Chair Atkinson?
No.
Chair Ringo?
Aye. Motion passes. We have a motion on 2458 as amended.
So moved.
Senator Shields has moved House Bill 2458. As amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections?
Yeah, I just asked to call the roll.
Okay. Katie, could you call the roll?
Senator Byer?
No.
Senator Burdick?
Aye.
Senator Shields?
Aye.
Vice Chair Atkinson?
No.
Chair Ringo?
Aye.
And motion passes, and I will go ahead and carry that bill. I'd like to open a work session on 2722. Could you refresh us, Matt, on where we stand on these amendments? I'm sorry. Is Dave Hendricks here? I saw him duck in. He's coming back. Okay. Go ahead, Senator. 2722.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2722 is the so-called three-mile veto bill, which we have heard a couple of times. We have two sets of amendments to this bill, the dash ones and the dash twos. The dash twos are the more substantive of the two. They essentially change 3 miles to 1 mile. So cities would still retain the ability to veto proposed incorporations, but only within 1 mile of their boundaries instead of three. The dash ones change what was, a number of hearings ago, suggested to be a drafting error. On page three, there's an or that's changed to an and this resets, the dash ones reset that back to or.
All right. We've had several discussions of this bill. I guess, Linda, are you here? Linda, could you just come forward and clarify one thing, please? I think it's the will of the committee to move the bill, but if, assuming we do that, would you want us to draft the dash one amendments making that clarification?
Mr. Chair, Linda Ludwig, League of Oregon Cities. Of course, my preference is the dash two amendments. If you will not move the dash two amendments, I do request that you move the dash ones.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Are there questions from the committee? The dash ones, change that, the and back to an or in accordance with the statute as it currently is, which I think is the right way to go, and everybody agrees on that. Yeah, the dash ones. Yeah, go ahead, Senator Field.
And the sponsors are okay with that?
Yes, you're okay with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right, they're nodding yes. May I have an amendment or a motion on the dash one amendments, please?
Dash one amendments in House Bill 2722.
Senator Byers moved the dash one amendments to House Bill 2722. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections?
Mr. Chair, I'll be supporting the bill, but I'll be opposing the bill, but I'll support the dash one amendment.
Okay, thank you. Any objections to the dash one amendments then? Seeing none, so ordered. May I have a motion on the bill?
Chair, I move the bill as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Senator Byers moved House Bill 2722 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Chair, I'll be opposing this bill. I think this is the sort of issue that belongs in a more comprehensive discussion of our land use system, and I would recommend that this issue be taken up in the context of Senate Bill 82, the so-called big look. But I think to deal with these kinds of issues in isolation is not something I'm comfortable doing.
And your point's well taken, Senator Burdick. Any other discussion? Katie, could we call the roll, please?
Senator Byers?
Aye.
Senator Burdick?
No.
Senator Shields?
Aye.
Vice Chair Atkinson? Chair Ringo?
Aye. And motion passes, and I will carry the bill. Do we have any better word on a question on 2458 on the issue raised by Senator Byer?
Mr. Chairman,
conflict
I
amendment.
Believe that was what Dave.
Oh, I'm sorry. You,
was here.
Chris Crane, do you have something to add?
Chair Ringo, I spoke briefly with Dave Hendricks, and when the amendments do not conflict substantively, Legislative Council has authority to merge the amendments editorially. conflict amendment would only be necessary if the amendments conflicted in a more substantive way.
Okay. And are you satisfied then, Senator Beyer, that we should go ahead and move 2458? Is that a nod to the yes? Okay. Thank you. Then let's move out of recess and return to our work session on 2458. We've had some testimony on this. What's that?
2484.
I'm sorry. Let's open the work session on 2484. We've had testimony on this. Is there anybody else in the audience that wants another or last word before we go ahead and vote on this? Okay. Well, the chair would entertain a motion then on House Bill 2484 as it is.
Move the bill to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Atkinson has moved House Bill 2484 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion, Senator Beyer?
Mr. Chair, just briefly on the Dash 12 amendments. The proponents of the Dash 12 amendments were led to believe that the bill was not needed. So I hope that maybe through the Rules Committee or something, they may give them the chance to introduce a new bill or look for a bill that they could have their issue dealt with or at least discussed.
Yeah, I think that's well said, Senator Byron. I would say that to the proponents as well. I mean, we are going to be moving some bills to Rules Committee, and I think that, who knows, maybe 887 will go to conference, and there may be room to take care of your concern in that context. So I think he's right. Are there any other comments on House Bill 2484? Senator Shields.
I agree with Senator Beyer and would encourage not only possibly looking at existing bills, but the Rules Committee can make a bill to address this situation. So I would hope that they would talk to those of us on rules.
Thank you very much. Katie, could you call the roll then?
Senator Byers?
Aye.
Senator Burdick?
No.
Senator Shields?
Aye.
Vice Chair Atkinson?
Aye.
Chair Ringo?
Aye. And motion passes. And anybody want to carry that bill? I will go ahead and carry that bill then. And let's open a work session on House Bill 3310. We're scheduled for a work session only, not a public hearing, but I do want to give people the opportunity, if they're here, to comment on the bill itself and, in particular, on the amendments that we've discussed that would impact the Beaverton Walmart. Is there anybody here who wants to testify on that? And I'm looking at Julie Brandis. Let's start with City from Beaverton. Julie, we'll start with them. Jim Johnson, Paul Parker. Yeah, why don't you go bring that map around, then? Yes, I'm sorry, Representative Greenlake, do you want to join us? I'm sorry about that. We'll let Representative Greenlake start here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I want to thank the committee for the last two actions as well. There are very few things that get my constituents quite as riled up as this Walmart situation. And while I generally don't favor amendments that are quite so specific to deal with one very specific issue, in this case, I think there's some real reason to be concerned about the specific issue. It turns out that the piece of land that's mentioned in the amendment was quickly and sort of swiftly added to the city limits of Beaverton in a recent period after a fair amount of discussion by the city saying that they didn't have much interest in annexing land north of Highway 26. This annexation turned up rather swiftly, and I think because the property owners were willing to be annexed. And immediately thereafter, my constituents, a very large number, everything just sort my district is basically everything north of Highway 26, are faced with the possibility of a new occupant of the area that we are really quite certain will have very dramatic effects on the character of the neighborhood. This is at an intersection that's perhaps the busiest intersection in the metropolitan area now, right near Highway 217 and Highway 26, and this intersection is just north of that. The concern now is to make sure that the special kinds of issues that this amendment addresses are considered as the city and perhaps the county have the job of trying to decide whether this this particular commercial enterprise ought to be approved. I think the amendment that's been drafted is fair and specific and deals with assuring that the proper kinds of considerations are made as this decision is made, and I definitely support it, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Malik. I appreciate that. Paul, good to see you. How are you?
Very well. Good morning, Chair Rango, Senators. My name is Paul Parker. I live in Cedar Mill, and I appreciate this opportunity to speak in favor of these amendments to House Bill 3310. I represent Save Cedar Mill, which is a community organization formed about 100 days ago, and we have a board we've incorporated and 1,300 members as of the last count, and it rises every day. Our initiating concern was a proposed 145,000 square foot Walmart at a very busy intersection, as Representative Greenwich described it, off Barnes Road and Cedar Hills Boulevard in Beaverton. And we're very concerned about two specific things. One is traffic, and the other is the impact on the local community. This, however, is not about Walmart. We would be equally concerned about any big box retail store that has the same impact on traffic and our local community. We're opposed to large box stores being built with insufficient community review and deliberation. And this proposed amendment, or amendments, are not about Salem disempowering local jurisdictions. To us, on the contrary, they're about local jurisdictions and local communities being given the tools and the time to develop balanced, fair plans and procedures for their neighborhoods. It seems to us that Oregon's land use laws and protocols were not developed to deal with such overwhelming retail superpowers. The standard land use decision-making process needs a fresh makeover to give communities a voice in responding to applications of such magnitude. In this situation, we have a parcel of land at a critical intersection. The land was annexed to Beaverton only this year, and immediately thereafter proposed as a big box site. The adjacent neighborhood, also just annexed to Beaverton, has not even yet gained neighborhood representation status as a NAC.
Excuse me, Paul, could you just point to that map where the... It's on there, but if you could clarify it, I think that would help the committee.
This is 26. Does this come out?
Sure, not very far.
Not very far. So this is 26. Beaverton's down here. Walmart is there.
Oh, Beaverton's white. The white.
Beaverton is white. Beaverton's white. Can you hear me?
Okay. All right. So Beaverton's white. This is Highway 26. This is the proposed new Walmart site. It's worth mentioning that there's, I think, is it 1,900 new homes?
2,900
new homes just about to go into this area here. So not only are we facing the huge influx of traffic that occurs when a store of this dimension arrives, and it relies upon sort of extra traffic from outside the immediate community, but we're going to get another nearly 3,000 homes, which is great, and we welcome them, but it's going to just pile up the congestion crazily. Okay? So that's where it is.
Thank you.
So I'm nearly done,
nearly finished. An entire local small business community in Cedar Mill lies immediately adjacent, at risk of the overwhelming economic impact of such a large box retailer. this isn't the time or place to start citing reports, but a slew of independent scientific studies have found that there is a devastating impact on existing jobs and local businesses when large national box retailers move in. We believe every community has a right to assess and comment on the desirability of an impact of that magnitude. In short, the very ground has shifted under our community's feet this year. Our issue and this amendment are about community participation, and Save Cedar Mill asks for a citizen voice as decisions are made about community compatibility and the economic integrity of our communities. Thanks.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your testimony. Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Jim Johnson. I live in the Cedar Hills area. I come to speak to you this morning in support of your amendments to House Bill 3310. My wife and I have lived in four houses in the unincorporated area of Washington County, north of Beaverton, for over the last 37 years, stretching from Rock Creek to Cedar Mill to our present home in Cedar Hills. We have watched the growth of this area, been involved with parts of it, including schools and the Cedar Mill Community Library, for 30 years. We love these communities. At times they function like small communities, and other times they function like integral parts of both Beaverton and Portland. We have a great collection of small businesses throughout the area, as well as a fine representation of larger chain businesses. We shop both in Beaverton and Cedar Mill, as well as Cedar Hills, and rarely consider the legal boundaries when we're doing so. We happen to live in an area in Cedar Hills where we are not part of an incorporated city, but where a city is forced by regulation as it exists today to make decisions about the development of unimproved property with virtually no input from the thousands of citizens who live in the area. In addition, the effect of proposed new developments upon our long-established businesses is not considered. These are the reasons why I've joined Save Cedar Mill. I do not believe that any very large box store should be built at a critical intersection in our neighborhood without substantial input from the citizens and businesses in the area. The proposed amendments to House Bill 3310 will allow these affected individuals and businesses to have proper input into local development. This is why I ask you to support House Bill 3310. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your testimony. Other questions from the committee? Senator Atkinson?
Yeah. Representative, what's on this piece of dirt now?
Grass and a lot of Elect Charlie Ringo signs during the...
mine always disappear. Mine always go down in about 24 hours.
That's good.
It was taken in as a part of that larger Peter Court. It is the area that was shown where the 2,900 homes are going to be built.
Is it zoned EFU?
No, it's not EFU.
What's the zone?
I think it's a proper zone for the...
It's a what?
I think it's a proper zone for the commercial development. Okay.
It is zone transit-oriented. Retail. Transit-oriented retail.
Okay, so why do... Why can't you do what happens to us in rural Oregon, which is tie this thing up in LCDC and hire lawyers and do all that stuff and waste a bunch of time? Why do we need to run a bill?
Well, the purpose of the bill, I mean, in answer to that question is, of course, the residents can and perhaps will do that. It's that it isn't clear exactly which jurisdiction is going to make this decision. I mean, if it would have happened three months ago, it would have been Washington County. In the annexation, it's Beaverton. And I think the purpose of the bill is to simply put some criteria into the decision that that will help the decision and perhaps prevent doing exactly what you said.
Okay. Now, Representative, you've just made my point that the rest of Oregon goes through. We don't know what jurisdiction things are. I've got a guy in Southern Oregon that spent $20,000 on a legal fee. After 18 months, some hearings officer has come up with some new opinion and some new decision that nobody from the department, the city, the county, nobody's ever even heard of, and it's going to cost him probably another 2 years and $20,000, and he can't afford a lobbyist, and he can't go run something special because he doesn't know who has jurisdiction over what and what's it zoned and if it's double zoned and all this stuff.
Well,
that's the exact point. So we do this up here for, I mean, you know, there's another bill up here for Beaverton school districts to do all this stuff, and I'm sure there's a big problem. But the rest of Oregon just has to hire a lawyer and waste time and jack up the price of land around
so that nobody can build on it, and everyone's got to move to Portland because we can't afford to buy homes in Southern Oregon, all because of a land use problem like this. I face this, my constituents face this same problem daily, except we don't have a legislature. We have to hire lawyers.
Well, I mean, my answer to that is I spent last session, the interim, and this session on the House Land Use Committee and Vice Chair trying to work hard to straighten those issues out. And I wanted to introduce a simple legislation that said that would ban stupid land use decisions. I couldn't get the Ledge Council to really support that. I really support what Senator Burdick said before. Senate Bill 82 is absolutely critical. I think we need to have a relook at that. I think we need to perhaps put Measure 37, you know, I'm still groggy from a hearing till a quarter to ten last night on how to implement Measure 37. I think we need to look at this. I mean, I think the basic structure of our land use planning may be okay, but I think we've so screwed it up with stupid decisions. I wanted to get a decal with a, you know, with a circle and a slash that said, ban stupid land use decisions. I think we have to find a way to get this back in order. And I couldn't agree more with you. And I've tried to help your situation in Southern Oregon.
Representative, I thank you. I think you and I are on the same page. And we all both have to represent our districts. However, I would agree with you on stupid land use decision, but please assure me we don't need a task force with to study it for 2 years to define stupid just to have a report that reports back to the legislature. If we cannot do that, that'd be great.
Oh, that'd be a big advance. We could define that and ban it.
Yeah, and I guess this is Senator Atkinson.
It's not just rural Oregon that's frustrated our land use system. There's a lot of folks in the Portland metro area that are frustrated with the way some of the decision-making goes down. And so I think it shouldn't be a matter of we'll help you with problems in your part of the state, but gee, you need to help us with problems in our part of the state. I mean, I think we should be all trying to help everybody in all parts of the state with issues with our land use system.
Well, I agree, Mr. Chair, but centralized land use planning has thrown off the ability for rural Oregon to do things much slower and metro Oregon to get things done much quicker. I'm just talking about the time of delay.
Well,
the time of lawyers' fees, and it's entirely unfair. And I don't think that these hearings officers that we have around the state, there's any consistency to these decisions.
Well, you talked
about every incentive to delay and jack up lawyer fees, and no incentive to actually get common sense.
Well, you talked to John Chandler about the home builder problems in the metro area, and they don't think things happen quickly there. I can just tell you that. But obviously, this is not a subject for this bill. Is there any other discussion related to this bill, or any questions for these witnesses? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I appreciate your testimony.
Thank you.
Julie Brandis, did you want to come up and testify? And is there anybody else who's going to want to testify on this bill, even though this is a work session? Good morning, Julie.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, for the record, I'm Julie Brandis, representing Associated Oregon Industries and its retail council. Associated Oregon Industries includes the nation's largest retailers within our membership. We are opposed to this amendment, the dash fours, for four primary reasons. To AOI and to all the larger retailers, we believe this is precedent setting with a statute such as this, and others will attempt to amend it and utilize it in future sessions. Two, it is a prohibition on development for a certain class of retailers, and our board has a policy in opposition to that. This is being amended into a consensus bill that evidently a great deal of effort has been placed into, and it places something that is needed into a precarious position. And as my fourth point, I will add on to what Senator Atkinson said. there is a land use process in the state, and big boxes get denied all the time. They are turned down in Hillsboro and in Beaverton. In the town that I live in Corvallis, we have been trying to get a Lowe's or a Home Depot so we don't have to travel to Albany to do home repairs. And that is still in process and has been for many years. So those are our reasons for opposition, and thank you for allowing us to testify during the work session.
No, thank you very much. And, you know, I just comment that this came in a very unusual way, at least for these citizens, where the land was annexed into the city of Beaverton, and then it was immediately announced that this was how it was going to be moving forward, with very little ability for the citizens to participate in that. So, anyway, Director Shetterly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Again, for the record, Lane Shetterly, Director of the Department of Land Conservation and Development. My purpose in testifying today, I'm not so much going to address the substance of the proposed amendments. My testimony is in support of the bill without the amendments, again, not reflecting so much on the merits of the amendments, but more on the bill. As Julie said, and Senator Atkinson's skepticism about work groups notwithstanding, this is the product of a very successful work group that has addressed a very thorny issue in the land use process dealing with periodic review. And it is the product of a work group that met monthly for at least the better part of the biennium, involving cities, counties, developers, planning advocates, the department, and governor's office, and is very much a product of that effort. It is a must-have because of the changes that it makes in the periodic reform process. Cities need it. Counties need it. The department supports it. And our concern is attaching an amendment that could have an effect of putting the 2 years effort in this work group at risk. And so we would support moving the bill without the amendment.
Thank you. Linda.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Linda Ludwig, League of Oregon Cities. I would just like to concur with Director Shetterly's remarks about concerns about the A4 amendments and what that might do to the progression of the bill. I would, however, ask the committee to go ahead and pass the A5 amendments, being those technical amendments to the bill. And
okay.
If there's any questions, we're here. Thank you for allowing us to testify.
Okay, thank you very much for the questions for this panel. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We're going to recess the hearing then on House Bill 3310. I'd like to open a work session on 3038. Willie, Tiffany, are you here? Oh, would you come forward, please, as well as Doug Meyer? Anybody else you want to bring with you is fine. Adam Sussman, I'm sorry. Sorry. 3038.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, I'm Willie Tiffany with the League of Oregon Cities, and I'm hopeful that the committee has the -A7 amendments in front of them. That's what we're going to talk about today. You may recall the committee considered this bill several weeks ago. And this bill really came out of a court decision which happened last year, which threw into jeopardy, or at least into doubt, most municipal water permits that are not perfected at this time. And so it's a very serious issue for municipalities, and we tried to move this bill forward. Unfortunately, as the bill came out of the House, it was opposed by the group Water Watch. We had been working in good faith with Water Watch on trying to find some sort of compromise to this issue. And I do want to compliment Mr. Myers here and his clients, Ms. Russell and Mr. Posowitz, for really working hard and in good faith with us. And quite frankly, Mr. Chair, you deserve a lot of credit for pulling together a couple of negotiated meetings. And I think what we have in front of us in terms of the -A7 amendments is a compromise. The sticky issue was
For us, for municipalities across the state, we do need long-term security for developing our water resources, but we need to balance that with resource protection issues, and that's a very, very important issue, I think, for Mr. Meyer's clients. I'll let Mr. Sussman from the department describe the amendments, but basically, if you look on page 2, there's a new section C, which concerns the resource protection elements of developing these long-term municipal permits. So with that, Mr. Chair, I'd like to hand it over to Mr. Myers and Mr. Sussman to talk about the merits of the bill.
Go ahead. Good morning. And for the record, Adam Sussman with the Water Resources Department. And again, I also want to thank Senator Ringo for his leadership and help in coming to a common sense solution to a very difficult problem. And there are a number of minor amendments in the A7 amendments, but the major one is on page 2, starting on line 3 and going through line 14. And as the negotiations and discussions on this bill proceeded, I think where the bottom line was is that we needed to ensure that we had a resource protection baseline. In other words, as we were evaluating these municipal permit extensions, we needed to ensure that we weren't doing something catastrophic to the resource and then move on to the next phases of the process, which is the water management and conservation process. And so the amendment, again, from line 3 to about line 14, is the process that the group has negotiated and agreed would be that baseline resource protection provision, and then we'd move on and continue the process. And I wanted to, for the record, talk about just for a second where what we would do is we would ensure that the undeveloped portion of this municipal permit was conditioned by the department in such a way that maintained the persistence of fish species that are listed under federal or state law as sensitive, threatened, or endangered. And as the group sat in that room, I described this definition of persistence, which is one of the viability criteria that the state is using in the assessment of the coho salmon and the Oregon plan. And that definition, just so that you know, the one that we work with in that work group, is persistence is a forecast of future population viability. I'm sorry, is a forecast of future population health stated in terms of the probability of extirpation. So what we wanted to do is ensure that we didn't tip the balance, if you will, in terms of that population's health and ensure that whatever action was taking wasn't somehow so adverse that it would affect that population's ability to continue to survive. And that was, the baseline resource protection that the group talked about. So that is really the major change to the bill as printed is that provision. And it's repeated both for surface water permit extensions, of course, and it's also in the statute for groundwater permit extensions for municipal use permits, because those groundwater uses often and can be hydraulically connected to surface water and could also have adverse effects on surface water. So we wanted to ensure that we carried it through both ways. Other than that, the major difference between the printed bill and the amendment are a couple minor clarifications to ensure that new permits for municipal use must be initiated and completed within 20 years. We also wanted to ensure that the sideboards for the what we call good cause determination in making a decision on a permit extension are clarified, and they have been clarified in this bill. We've also clarified that a municipal permit extension will be required to develop a water management and conservation plan, which we've talked about, and we clarified the applicability provisions, which is in section 5 of the bill, to make it very clear how this bill applies and to whom it applies. And with that, again, Mr. Chair, I appreciate your leadership in bringing this group together, which is been a difficult task, so thank you very much. You're welcome.
Doug? Mr. Chair and members of the committee, I'm Doug Myers, representing Water Watch.
And we too would like to thank the chair. We would like to thank the municipalities of Oregon who did the right thing, as I explained carefully to my clients. It's a word from Karen Russell of Water Watch to Adam Sussman. Thank you, Adam. And he about fainted with that one. But we support 3038 as amended by A7 amendments, and especially the subsection C on page 2, lines 3 through 14. It requires the department, Water Resources Department, to consult with ODF&W.
Okay.
And requires a decision to be based on all existing data which can be brought forward in the existing agency process that allows public participation in extension proceedings. And that's all I wanted to get on the record. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any questions for this panel? Senator Beyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Adam, you said that any new permit issued to a municipality with this would be a 20-year permit.
Senator Ringo, Senator Byrd, that's correct. This sets out in this bill that a new permit for municipal use would have a 20-year development timeline to initiate and complete construction of the works. Yes.
But it doesn't change a new permit issued for an irrigation district or a new permit issued for a private party still has 5 years?
Senator Ringo, Senator Byer, that's correct. And my recollection is when the bill first came to the committee, you know, we had a pretty good discussion about, at least my recollection is we had a discussion about that and kind of what the unique characteristics are of a municipal permit and some of the unique challenges that they face in terms of developing it and why, at least in this bill, it made sense to modify that opportunity. And because specifically of a court case that made it very clear that while there was a lot of good policy and practical reasons to give municipalities more than 5 years, the law didn't allow it, and the court actually invited, in writing, the legislature to take a look at that.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much. The chair would entertain a motion then to the dash 7 amendments on House Bill
3038. So moved, Mr. Chair.
Senator Burdick has moved the dash 7 amendments to House Bill 3038. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? So ordered. And the chair would move House Bill 3038 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Are there any discussions?
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I'm going to oppose the bill. I understand the issues, but I think the same issues are there for private people and irrigators when they want to build new projects. I appreciate the amendment. That's why I didn't oppose the amendment. But, you know, I'm glad they worked out the differences for the bill, but I still think that we in this body always bend over backwards to help out government, and we let private people stand on their own and deal with the system. And this is another example of that, that because cities have a problem doing things in 5 years, private citizens and irrigation districts, which are also government, have also the same problems. You know, they can't get reservoirs built in a five-year time period either, but we're going to help the cities and not going to help anybody else. So I'm going to oppose the bill.
Well, Senator Beyer, I just find it astounding to oppose something that you acknowledge is a good idea because it doesn't solve enough people's problems.
Well, Mr. Chair, if we've taken it further and solved it for everyone, then I'd be happy to support it.
Well, I would have been happy to see those amendments, but they weren't offered. All right, any other discussion on House Bill 3038? Katie, could you call the roll?
Senator Beyer?
No.
Senator Burdick?
Aye.
Senator Shields?
Aye.
Vice Chair Atkinson?
Co-sponsor.
Yes.
Here
we go. Aye. Motion passes, and I will go ahead and carry that bill. Let's return to our... excuse me for a second. I've lost my paperwork. Let's return to a work session. On 3310, we have the dash 4 and the dash 5 amendments before us. May I have a motion on the dash 5 amendments?
So moved.
So moved.
Senator Shields moved the dash 5 amendments to House Bill 3310. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? so ordered. The chair would entertain a motion on the dash four amendments.
So moved.
Senator Shields has moved the dash four amendments to House Bill 3310. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I'll be supporting the dash four amendments, but I just want to put on the record that this will add some more baggage to the underlying bill, and the bill itself is very worthy. And so I will be counting on the chair to make sure that the periodic review portion of this bill makes it through the process, even if the Walmart provision is unable to prevail.
Thank you very much. Any other discussion on the dash four amendments?
Mr. Chair, I'm not going to support the dash four amendments.
Yep. Katie, call the roll, please.
Senator Byer?
No.
Senator Burdick?
Aye.
Senator Shields?
Aye.
Vice Chair Atkinson?
No.
Chair Ringo?
Aye.
And the dash four, dash five amendments are adopted. Is there a motion on the bill as amended?
So moved.
Senator Shields has moved House Bill 3310 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? With any objections? I can call the roll.
Senator Byer?
No.
Senator Burdick?
Aye.
Senator Shields?
Aye.
Vice Chair Atkinson?
No.
Chair Ringo?
Aye. And motion passes, and I will go ahead and carry that bill as well. Let's open a work session on House Bill 3349. Let me get that file.
The dash eights are the veterans issue.
Okay. And just for the committee, the dash eight amendments are offered by Senator Westland's office. That is a gut and stuff that takes care of a veterans community center near Bend. I don't see the dash eight. The dash nine amendments are also take care of the. An issue of a fireworks issue around the state. Frankly, I think the dash nine amendments have too many issues with them. It's my hope to go ahead and move the dash eight amendments to House Bill 3349. Senator Shields.
I'm trying to catch up here, Mr. Chair. The dash seven amendments, it seemed, kept the original intent of the bill and also addressed the issues.
That's right.
In dash eights.
Yes.
And why is it you don't want to do dash seven?
Well, just to let you know, the dash seven amendments clarify a potential ambiguity with Measure 37. I think Measure 37 has about 1,000 potential ambiguities, and it's not my intention to clarify them piecemeal. I don't have any interest in clarifying Measure 37 unless it's done in a big fix that I think helps our community in general. And that's why I'd rather not move the main portion of the bill.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Why would you oppose something that fixes something that doesn't go all the way?
Because it's so broken, we need to start from scratch, Senator Barr.
I think he's using your argument on you from a moment ago.
I understand that.
Senator Barr just got a gotcha on that one.
I understand that very well.
What, Mr. Chair, further question. I'm just trying to figure out this dash seven amendment fixes one piece.
The dash seven amendments address potential ambiguity as to whether if somebody in a farm zone files a Measure 37 claim, will that have tax implications on other members in the farm zone? I think it's a complex question. I do think we need clarification on Measure 37. I hope to continue working on it this session. And so that's why I think it needs to be part of a comprehensive fix.
Chair, I concur with your reasoning on that.
I'm looking at what we just did for an urban area over there with a potential big box. We did something nice for the cities. It seems to me that this might, I realize where you're coming from, but this might be something nice for the rural area to take care of this one piece. I mean, I haven't had a chance to talk with you about this issue.
I think we have done many things this session for rural Oregon. I've been very sensitive to a lot of the needs of rural Oregon, including on land use issues, including on House Bill 2458, which we passed today to facilitate ongoing industrial development in rural Oregon. I think Measure 37 is a huge issue in its own right, and we need to address Measure 37 in the large picture.
So, shut up.
Senator Shields, anything else?
I'm wondering if Senator Burdick would like to go on the record with her recommendation.
Senator Burdick will remain silent.
Okay. I thought I was pretty well prepared, and I have been on most issues. This one just catches me by surprise.
That's okay. We can just let this lie.
Well,
we don't need to do it.
Of course, one of the possibilities, since you and I are both over there on rules, is just to move it over there, and that way at least I can understand your logic, and we can have a chance to discuss it a little further.
I'm happy to do that, Senator Shields. You want to do that?
Is that okay? I would like to see that happen.
Okay. Let me make that annotation here.
Apologies if this messes up your agenda. I just hadn't had a chance to catch up with that one today.
Okay. So let's close the work session on House Bill 3349.
Don't you want to move the rules?
Yeah, actually, I was going to do another motion to move the whole set of rules.
I see.
The chair opens a. Chair moves that the following bills be moved to rules: Senate Bill 734, Senate Bill 344, Senate Bill 785, Senate Bill 786. House Bill 2537, House Bill 2581, House Bill 2582, House Bill 2668, House Bill 2705, House Bill 3117, House Bill 2729. We skipped 1061 intentionally. And House Bill 3349. Chair moves that those bills be moved to Rules Committee. Is there any discussion on that motion? Any objections? So ordered. And the Chair appreciates everybody's cooperation throughout this session, because this concludes this committee hearing. I'd like to thank our committee staffs, Katie and Matt, for doing a great job. And also thank all the members of the committee, also Chris Crane for his great job on land use items, and thank the committee in general. We're adjourned.
Nice job.